When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. You would think that someone would think twice about making a claim to have visited heaven, talked to Jesus personally. After all, it wasn't that long ago, maybe in the late 90s, the early 2000s, there was a flurry of books and claims about little children who, well, they died or they needed to be resuscitated, and then they came back with amazing stories of going to heaven, seeing Jesus. In one story, Jesus had wings. Kind of like you would expect a child to maybe imagine it to be. Some of those have actually been recanted. Some of them haven't. And Kevin Zadi, a Pentecostal teacher, says, well, he went to heaven too. Apparently in the dentist's chair. Makes you think twice about going to the dentist. It's time for This Week in Pop Christianity. We're going to talk about Kevin Zadi's alleged trip to heaven and back. Pastor Chris Rosebro joins us. He's pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota. Creator and host of the YouTube channel, Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
Before we get into Kevin Zadi, I understand that there's an update on Brian Houston of Hillsong Church.
Yes. There is a story that broke in Australia overnight that the new pastor, Pastor Dooley, ended up having to have a very long meeting with other staff members of Hillsong around the globe. And he validated in that meeting that two charges have been filed against Brian Houston regarding inappropriate misconduct as it relates to women. One involves inappropriate texting, that he sent text messages wishing to cuddle with a woman who was not his wife. And then the other one, a little more serious, that Brian Houston in 2019 allegedly was intoxicated and he went to the wrong hotel room and ended up spending 40 minutes with a woman in her hotel room. Details to be forthcoming, but Pastor Dooley, who's the now the head pastor of Hillsong in Sydney, he unequivocally apologized for Brian Houston's misconduct. And it really sounds like there may be some validation to this. I'm a little perplexed by the reason why they're calling it misconduct rather than sin. He broke the commandments, not merely some kind of internal Hillsong codes or whatever. But that is the latest regarding Brian Houston.
I have been hosting Issues Etc. for more than 20 years. Why does this theme of alleged trips to heaven or hell, why do they keep reoccurring in pop Christianity?
Well, part of it has to do with the fact that people don't know their Bible. There is rampant biblical illiteracy. And then there's always curiosity as it relates to what is in heaven, what is going on there. And so there's a thing within Christianity, kind of a substream of it, where if there's some credible near-death experience that somebody claims to have had and that they had an encounter with Jesus or went to heaven and things like this, that we generally give that person the benefit of the doubt and think that person is telling the truth until they are proven to be a liar. And as a result of it, there's been some really, really weird books as well as teachers who've come on the scene who are not being properly scrutinized biblically. And as a result of it, they are introducing extra-biblical doctrines that for real end up contradicting the biblical text that we have.
So who is Kevin Zadi?
So Kevin Zadi is a recent up-and-comer within the Charismatic and the NAR churches. He's closely associated with Word of Faith prosperity preachers, especially Jesse Duplantis. And he's recently been given his own television program, if you want to call it that, on the It's Supernatural Network. And so his whole shtick is based upon his credentials are that he died on the operating table, spent 45 minutes with Jesus, and has since had multiple trips to heaven. So much so that I wonder if he has a flat up there. But that's who Kevin Zadi is. So he's very heavily promoted by Jesse Duplantis as well as Sid Roth.
What does that kind of endorsement, what kind of credibility does that kind of endorsement offer Zadi in his claims to have made trips to heaven?
So Jesse Duplantis among the Word of Faith teachers is royalty. He's up there with Ken Copeland. And Sid Roth in the charismatic and NAR movements is also, and we're talking hundreds of thousands of people following them, millions of views on, you know, their teachings and on their channels. And so within the charismatic movement, NAR prosperity, this guy is A-list now.
What are we going to hear from him first?
So we're going to start by, you know, listening to him talk about his credibility based upon he died and spent 45 minutes with Jesus. And so this will kind of set the basis so you can see how his death experience, it really forms the whole credibility for everything that he teaches.
Hi, I'm Kevin Zadi, and welcome to The Secret Place, where all your prayers are going to be answered. And today, I've got a special thing I want to share with you. I'm going to actually share my visitation with Jesus when I died on the operating table. And so I want to set this up by telling you that you must expect an impartation from this session, because the Lord is going to reveal himself to you in a strong way, just like he did to me. And how this happened to me was that one day I went in for an operation, and I had my jaw, it was out of alignment, and my teeth were bothering me. And so they had to remove the wisdom teeth and kind of work on my jaw a little bit. And I didn't expect to die that day, but what happened was that I checked in for this procedure. It was supposed to be just a day procedure, and Jesus ended up spending 45 minutes with me, and I know you're excited to hear about that, and so am I to tell you about it. But first, just put your faith out to receive a miracle today as you listen to this, because every time I share this testimony, the Lord does amazing miracles, and he will visit you. And so right now, Father, I just thank you that the spirit of revelation and wisdom will come upon all the people. Lord, you sent me back for this purpose, and I just thank you, Lord, for touching the people right now in Jesus' name.
All right, Chris, I think the first thing I'd want to know is, did he really die?
Yeah, I got to admit that dental deaths are not something I'm all that familiar with. And this legitimately may be some type of a hallucination caused by the anesthesia. I don't know, because he's never really offered proof that the people that were performing this wisdom teeth surgery that he had back in 1992, that he expired on the table or needed to be resuscitated. It's all based upon, well, we got to believe him. But here's the issue, and that is that when somebody comes to us like this, the phrase that we're all familiar with in legal jurisprudence, that somebody is innocent until proven guilty, when it comes to extra biblical revelations or prophecy, Scripture does not permit us to consider the person to be trustworthy until proven untrustworthy. In fact, listen to what the Apostle John writes in 1 John. He says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world." So you'll note then Scripture commands us, God the Holy Spirit has commanded us through Scripture, that when somebody comes to us and says, "I'm a prophet, I have seen Jesus, I had this experience, I've been to heaven," that we are to first test to see whether or not what that person is saying is truly from God or not. We don't give them the benefit of the doubt. We don't allow them to take over the pulpit, be a special speaker, come speak at our conferences and tell us and regale us with these stories of all this extra biblical stuff. Nope. We have to test to see whether they are from God before we give them the floor. And so already we've got a problem because his entire credibility, all of the authority that he has is based upon whether or not he really talked to Jesus, whether or not he legitimately had an encounter with the risen Savior. And I would note that what he's describing sounds like it even supersedes what the Apostle Paul experienced with Christ. We've got some problems, and we have to first test to see whether or not this is true.
You had mentioned the Apostle Paul, who, even being an apostle, while I think it's clear he is claiming to have been translated in some form, and he says, I don't know whether it was in the body or not.
Yep.
To see a heavenly vision. But I want to note two things and have you discuss a little bit that contrasts here. Paul is so careful about first saying, I know a man.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't say, I did this. And I think that's just out of sheer humility and the humbling vision that he received there.
Mm-hmm.
Then he says, I was shown things there that I am not permitted to talk about.
Yeah, in fact, it's a little stronger than that. So the text in question is 2 Corinthians 12. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul he's kind of like halfway through an argument that he's putting out against the so-called super apostles. These are people who were skilled in rhetoric, commanded the highest price for their speaking engagements, promised, to take people to the highest heights of joy and laughter and elation, and then bring you down to the depths of despair. Paul was nothing like this, but these guys actually claimed for themselves the moniker of super apostles. So Paul is, in 2 Corinthians 11, undermining their claim by engaging in some foolishness, by bragging and boasting the way they do. But he ends up bragging about his beatings, his sufferings, his persecutions, him being shipwrecked and all the anxiety he has for the churches. And then he starts 2 Corinthians 12 with these words, I must go on boasting, though there's nothing to be gained by it. I'll go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man. So he's talking about himself in third person. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. And I know that this man was caught up into paradise, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. God knows. And he heard things that cannot be told, which man may not utter. It's not merely that he couldn't utter it, but the things that he saw, no human being would be permitted to utter these things. And then you'll note that just a few verses later, that after having had this revelation and seeing the third heaven, God then gives him a thorn in the flesh to keep him from becoming conceited. And he pleaded with God three times to take that thing from him. And Christ answered him, said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And so you'll note that all the limitations that Paul reveals to us in this passage of scripture, that, the things he saw, he cannot reveal. People who make these so-called trips to heaven, all the things that Paul was not permitted to speak about and no man's permitted to say, these people just go on blabbing about it. And you'll note there is a lot of conceit regarding these revelations of theirs. They're the super special ones. They've got the inside track. They have more knowledge than we mere mortals who have to rely on the Bible. This is sure proof that what we're dealing with here is deception, and may even be demonic deception at that.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about Kevin Zadi's alleged trip to heaven and back, and we'll hear more from Zadi next. When Jesus says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, does he mean the only way, truth, and life? I answer that question in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In our Wittenberg Trail feature, Pastor Christopher Neuendorf writes about his journey into Lutheranism from Greek Orthodoxy. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Life Ministry is thousands of people sharing Christ's love and mercy and giving witness to our Lord's creation of life, His design for marriage and the family, and the God-given value of all human life from conception to natural death. Working with many partners, LCMS Life Ministry sponsors human care efforts that meet the needs of body and soul and provides resources and educational events for all ages. To learn more, email lifeministry@lcms.org and visit lcms.org/life.
Risen Savior Lutheran Church, Basser, Kansas. Located just right outside the northwest corner of the metro Kansas City area, we have a growing congregation of people who come from over 13 different communities to see what God is doing here, who desire to only believe, teach, confess, and practice as the church always has. Risen Savior, Basser, Kansas. Check out our website, risensaviorlcms.org.
If God promises to provide for us, as He does in the first article of the Creed, and as we confess that He has created me and takes care of every aspect of my life, why then do we work? If you've ever asked this question or struggled with the sin of sloth, that is not simply laziness, but a spiritual sloth, you need to pick up your copy of the March issue of the Lutheran Witness. You can subscribe at cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org, to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Not only does our church need men right now, but the world needs men who will proclaim the gospel in its purity.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Peter Scare, Associate Professor of New Testament at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
If when you go to sleep at night, you're thinking about it, my experience with it is this, is that thought won't go away. So if you're going to bed at night thinking about following our Lord and becoming a preacher of this gospel, then I would love if you could come and visit Fort Wayne, our campus. We'd love to show you around and show you what it is that we do.
Have you ever considered becoming a pastor? Contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana at 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Christ-centered, cross-focused, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, is coordinator for LCMS Stewardship Ministry. LCMS Stewardship plans educational opportunities and provides ongoing support for pastors and lay leaders as they implement Christ-centered stewardship plans in their congregations. Check out their free stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship. Managing the gifts God gives us, LCMS Stewardship Ministry, lcms.org/stewardship. We're talking about Kevin Zadi's alleged trip to heaven and back with Pastor Chris Rosebro. Chris, what's next from Kevin Zadi?
So next, we are going to hear him talk about, in his conversation that he had with Jesus while he was dead for 45 minutes, he learned some extra things about Jesus that are not recorded for us in the Scripture.
He also started to talk to me about a subject that's somewhat controversial, but to me, I saw it clearly in the Scripture. He said, Kevin, he said, when I was on the earth, I would look for myself in the Word of God. He said, the Father had strategically planted different places in the Bible that talked about me. And so he said, before I even came to the earth, we had strategically caused the Holy Spirit to have men write in the Scripture. So he said, for example, he said, the Spirit came on King David and he wrote Psalms 16. And he said, when I was on the earth, I memorized that psalm. He said, because this is what happened. He said, I actually went to hell. I was in the belly of the earth. And he said, in the belly of the earth, I rehearsed Psalm 16. Isn't that amazing? So he said his whole teenage life, he spent reviewing and looking throughout the whole Word of God in the Old Testament to find himself. And he said, I had all these key verses that were coaching me into what I was supposed to be doing and who I was. And so Psalm 16, he said, was used when he was in the belly of the earth.
Okay, this gets into some pretty weedy parts of the Word Faith teaching about Jesus' descent into hell, but how would you take us through that?
So let's focus on the extra biblical parts first, and then in the next soundbite, we'll cover the what Christ was apparently doing in hell. You're going to note here, he claims that Jesus, that God the Holy Spirit and the Father had implanted in the Old Testament text, the passages that Jesus would need in order to learn about himself and his mission. Here's the problem. And that is that this is part of what we would call the kenotic heresy, the belief that Jesus somehow emptied himself as of deity and that he wasn't able to operate with his divine nature. This is nonsense. And so we'll note a proper understanding of the incarnation or the hypostatic union is that just like you and I, we have a soul and a body, yet there's not two of me or two of you. There's only one of you because the soul and body come together in a union that creates the person that you are. Similar with Christ, Jesus has a human nature, which means he has a body and a human soul. He also has a divine nature, and he has the divine nature of the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, and those come together in the hypostatic union to form the one Jesus. There's not two Jesuses, there's one Jesus. And I would point you to the Athanasian Creed for kind of the finer ways of hammering all of this out. But Jesus, from the time of his conception in the womb of the Virgin Mary, will continue to be and still continues to be the God-man. He has a human nature and a divine nature. And although during the time of his humbling himself, during his life, ministry, death, and all those things, Christ didn't fully, tap into all that he was capable of with his divine nature. He muted it. He still knew exactly who he was. So like in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2, after the birth of Christ, during the Christmas season, we listen to the account of Christ where he stays back after his family takes him to the to Jerusalem for a feast. And then he's teaching the people in the temple. And he was shocked when his mother looked for him for 3 days and couldn't find him. And they finally found him. Why have you done this? And he says, I don't understand why you were looking for me. Didn't you know that I needed to be in my Father's house? Christ knows exactly who he is. What Zadai is saying contradicts the scripture. And instead, what he's basically saying is that Jesus is the perfect example of a Holy Spirit-inspired man, and he uses the Word of God kind of magically in order to discover his identity, to come into his own and learn what God's purpose was for him, and we need to follow that example too. This is really, really not only bad Christology, it's actually heretical.
With the ground laid there of what the Word Faith teaches about, well, really, you said two things. More broadly, the two natures in Christ, that heresy, and then consequently his descent into hell. In a nutshell, what do they say, before we hear it from Zadai, what do they say that Jesus was doing in hell as opposed to what Scripture teaches?
Okay, so what the Word of Faith heresy teaches regarding Christ's descent into hell is that his suffering on the cross was not sufficient for the salvation of the world. Instead, part of Christ's suffering was that he actually suffered in hell itself. And Zadai, you're going to hear him go along these lines. But after we hear that soundbite, we're going to apply a couple of biblical texts here, and we're going to come back to the test. Is what he's saying really true? Did he really have an encounter with Jesus? Because here's where one of the tests, you can test somebody who claims to be a prophet or claims to have these experiences. You take their doctrine and you compare it to the Word of God, and if it contradicts the Scripture, then you know with absolute certainty this person isn't hearing from God at all, but maybe tapping into something that's actually demonic. But again, the descent into hell, the Word of Faith teaches that Christ suffered in hell.
He started to talk to me. He said, most people think about the suffering that I did before I died on the cross, the beatings, the imprisonments. But he said, it went far beyond that. It went far beyond the cross. It went far beyond that, Kevin. He said, I spent those days in the belly of the earth alone without God. And it shocked me at first because I never thought that. He said, I relinquished my communication with the Father for those days. He said, the only thing that I had was those Psalms that I had memorized. And he said, I rehearsed those and I kept telling myself that there was coming that point if I set the Lord always before me. And because he was at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. And it talked about how he would be brought out, that he would not allow his body to see decay. His soul would not be left in hell. And he told me, he said, I rehearsed those things. He said, those demons were telling me that I had failed, that I had been left alone, and my mission was a failure. He told me, Satan told me, he said, you should have taken the deal I gave you in the desert where I offered you all the kingdoms of the world. He said, you could have had them if you bowed down to me, but look at you now. You've lost everything. He said, I just kept rehearsing the word of God. And so he explained this to me, and as he was telling me this, he started to sob, and it touched me. He said, I cleared out a space in your own soul, Kevin, when I did this, because when you pray from the depths. So he said, I have made a place in prayer for you because I prayed this space out when I was in hell. He said, when I prayed, he said, I made it possible for anybody in any situation, no matter how hard-pressed they feel, they could access this place in prayer that I prayed from the depths. He said, I prayed and I saw God deliver me. And he said, anyone who prays, they'll feel this depth come in their spirit when they pray a heartfelt prayer. He said, that's the space I cleared in the spirit for them. He said, because I went through more, much more than any person will ever have to go through.
Okay, Chris, there's a lot to unpack there, but I noted especially him saying that he had relinquished his communication with the Father.
Yeah.
Which seems odd.
Yeah. Okay. So this is where we can see just clear biblical texts that contradict what he's saying, which gives us 100% certainty this is not from God. He's not talking to Jesus. So we'll start with a basic premise, and that is that 2 John, the Apostle John, writes, he says, watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. So if anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. A good cross-reference to this then is also 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul specifically says, do not go beyond what is written. So you'll note that Kevin Zadi here is teaching us doctrines that cannot be found in Scripture. And he's giving us words of Jesus that are not in the biblical text. He's gone beyond what is written. He has not abided in the teachings of Christ. He's added to them. But it gets worse than that. So one of the things he said that Jesus was all alone in his descent into hell. But Jesus himself in Luke 23, talking to one of the thieves on the crosses, because there were two thieves, he said to one of them, the one who asked him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Luke 23:43, Jesus says, truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. Well, with me is a relational thing. And so Jesus was not alone when he went into hell. Instead, the best way I can put it is that the one of those thieves on the cross joined Jesus. The question then comes up, where? What was going on? Well, there's a couple of passages that discuss Jesus' descent into hell. Ephesians 4 says, therefore, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives and he gave gifts to men. And saying he ascended, what does it mean that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all heavens so that he might fill all things. So Ephesians 4 here makes it clear that Christ did descend into the lower regions of the earth. You can talk about it as being Sheol or Hades. We translate it as hell in our confessions, but 1 Peter gives us a little more of a clear idea of what was going on. It says in 1 Peter 3, Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, so that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, made alive in the spirit, in which he went and he proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey when God's patience waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared. So Peter makes it clear that Christ's descent into the lower regions, descent into hell, that he wasn't alone. Instead, Christ was literally proclaiming or preaching to the disobedient departed dead of the days of Noah. You read our theologians on this in the Church Fathers. Basically, the idea here is he's proclaiming his victory. And so Jesus was only not alone. When Jesus died on the cross, according to the Gospel of John, he said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "Almost there," or "I've only got 3 days left." No, Christ's atoning sacrifice was accomplished and his suffering ended with his death when he gave up his spirit and said, "It is finished." His descent into hell was not for the purpose of continuing to suffer. His descent into hell was for the purpose of proclaiming his victory, the victory that he accomplished on the cross. So here we got a big problem, and that is that Kevin Zadi, what he's saying that Jesus told him contradicts what the scripture says, which means he fails the test. This isn't Jesus who's speaking to him. The question is, what is speaking to him? It's either the ravings of his own mind or a flat out lie, or worse, he may actually have tapped into a demonic Jesus, the devil himself masquerading as Jesus. But by applying the test of scripture, we can know with 100% certainty he didn't actually have a legitimate experience with the real Jesus, and it doesn't take much effort to see that.
Attendant to this is the word faith teaching, and Zadi being a word faith teacher, that when Jesus descended into hell, it goes back to that error that you talked about before, he descended as merely a man. Somehow he divested himself of his entire divinity. And then, at least according to the leading lights of word faith teaching, when he rose from the dead, he rose in their terms as a born-again man,
yeah,
not as the God-man.
Yeah, that's a straight up heresy. I mean, so Jesus then divests himself of the divine nature with his descent into hell, and then his resurrection is a born again experience. And they then liken that to our own, being regenerated or born again from above. And it's rank heresy. And what's interesting, I've read Zadi's book where he, lays out more of this, in it's called The Mystery of the Power Words, and which is really weird. And it's a strange book altogether. But Michael Brown wrote the foreword to this thing and gave a full-throated endorsement to it. And in chapter 12, he teaches this descent into hell that Jesus suffered in hell. But what's interesting in that particular book is that, he talks about Jesus as if Jesus hasn't bodily risen from the dead, or somehow he's put his flesh aside. And so he's a little different than Joyce Meyer of ancient days or Ken Copeland back in the past, where he talks about Jesus being born again at his resurrection. He talks about Jesus as if somehow Jesus is now pure spirit and doesn't have a physical body, a physicality anymore. It's really strange the way he talks about it. It's always inferred, but never really explained.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. Zadi also talked about praying out a space, or Jesus praying out a space. What does that mean? We'll find out next. Have you ever wondered why our beloved hymns were written? What influenced the writers to craft these words that proclaim the gospel? Learn more about the words you love to sing in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, Eternal Anthems, The Story Behind Your Favorite Hymns. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Eternal Anthems, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for March, 1-800-325-3040.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
An oasis in the desert of pop American Christianity, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Scripture tells us to not neglect the gathering of the saints. For too long, many of our churches have been shuttered and our gatherings curtailed. During this Lenten season, it is time to beautify our sacred spaces and return to our traditions. Ad Crucem is having a sale on our church banners. For the month of March, our banner prices will be reduced by up to 30%. Visit adcrucem.com to take advantage of this incredible pricing. That's adcrucem.com.
Do you long for a church that celebrates the divine service with reverence and joy, but without the unbiblical baggage imposed by a supposedly infallible hierarchy? Do you long for a church that confesses a divinely instituted office of the holy ministry for the giving of the Lord's gifts to his people, and yet values and lifts high the priesthood of all believers? Welcome to the Lutheran Church. We're what you've been looking for. Find an historic, authentic church near you on the Find a Church page at issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. Today we're talking about Kevin Zadi's alleged trip to heaven and back with Pastor Chris Roseborough, Fighting for the Faith. Chris, another thing that Zadi said there was that Jesus prayed out a space for him. What in the world does that mean?
Yeah, so he's using this extra-biblical account that, you know, Jesus was, he's praying the word of God, speaking the word of God from the depths, and we too, you know, might have sadness and difficulty, or you might be in the depths of despair, and because Jesus prayed the word of God and spoke the word of God when he was in the depths, he's now left, opened up a space. So if you're feeling like you're in the depths of despair, you can pray from the depths, and the same thing that happened to Jesus when he was in hell will happen to you. Yeah, that's how he explains it in the book. And it's just the connection between those two is so flimsy and awkward and clunky that, you know, there is, it's not really well explained at all, because he goes with what he thinks is a literal historical account, which is extra biblical, and then allegorizes it for when we're in the depths of despair. It's so so messed up on so many levels, you can't fix it.
Zadi promised at the beginning of his little spiel here that if you listen to his story about his alleged interchange with Jesus, that you were going to get some sort of special gift. What's that all about?
Yeah, so two promises. And he claims that since he was sent back by Jesus, that this was him fulfilling the mission that Christ sent him back for. One is when he tells the story, you're going to receive an impartation, or I don't even know what that is, to be honest with you. It's one of these charismatic buzzwords that doesn't mean anything. But the other thing he promised is that you'll receive a visitation. And this is the one that creeps me out. Because when what he's talking about is that you yourself are going to receive a visitation from Jesus if you open up your heart in faith to receive this. But here's the thing. By comparing what he's claiming to the Word of God, we know that the Jesus he's tapped into isn't the biblical Jesus. And so what he's doing is preparing his audience to receive a visitation by the same Jesus who visited him. But the problem is the Jesus who visited him is demonic. It's not the real Jesus. And so the person who listens to Zadi and says, oh, I believe these and I invite this visitation, I fear that they may actually be inviting demons to come visit them to deceive them even further. That's kind of the implication of what we're hearing here.
Is that why you say it creeps you out? I mean, that's a scary prospect to have a teacher say, I encountered this quote-unquote Jesus, and if you believe what I say, then you can also encounter this quote-unquote Jesus.
Yeah, that. I'm sorry, but at this point, since I know that's not the biblical Jesus, I have to speak against it and say, you're not welcome in my house, in my life at all. Stay as far away as humanly possible. In fact, when I pray the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from the evil one, now I've added that to the list mentally of what I'm praying to be protected from, because the Jesus that visited him is not the biblical Jesus. It's not the Jesus who walked the earth 2,000 years ago, who healed the sick, raised the dead, gave sight to the blind, who bled and died for our place, rose victorious from the grave on the third day after being crucified, and has ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. This is a different Jesus. This is a Jesus that is only a Jesus in name only, but is actually a demonic spirit, if not the devil himself. So you don't want this Jesus to visit you. He's not going to lead you to the eternal life that we have in Christ. He's going to lead you to hell.
So there are so many problems with this, Chris. I mean, first of all, we have the factual premise of whether or not he actually died. That's not established by anything.
Nope.
So we should probably be highly skeptical of that. There are other explanations, as you have pointed out, that maybe maybe it's just the anesthesia, who knows? But there are other reasonable explanations. Then you have these false promises that he issues. Then you have how his account of what this quote-unquote Jesus said to him stacks up against what the Bible actually says. Why would any Christian who wants to abide in the Word of God believe this kind of stuff?
Because they've been deceived into believing that if they speak out against this or act skeptically, that they will grieve the Holy Spirit. That's the other kind of real sinister thing that goes on in charismatic and Pentecostal churches. They are told that if they speak out against somebody like Kevin Zadi, they risk blaspheming the Holy Spirit, and as a result of it, they risk going to hell. And so criticism is not welcome. Skepticism, testing is not welcomed in so much of the charismatic movement. And in fact, any kind of skepticism or an expressing of a desire to test this biblically will be met with the sharpest of criticism. You are a Pharisee. You have head knowledge rather than heart knowledge, and your head knowledge is puffing you up. You just need to accept what the Holy Spirit is doing, and this is how they talk. And you risk blaspheming the Holy Spirit. How do I know this? Read the comments on the videos that I post up critical of these things, and you can see it for yourself. I get these criticisms daily that I'm just a Pharisee. I'm blaspheming the Holy Spirit. I need to not be so focused on knowledge, and I'm conceited. And so this is what happens. And so within the charismatic movement, there is a strong undercurrent of anti-intellectualism, of using your brain, and there's a strong undercurrent of using the Bible and obeying the scriptures to test these things properly.
The Bible is full of miracles. Hmm? The accounts of Jesus' miracles, his resurrection, why is that not enough for this particular branch of Christianity?
I think that there is a sense of jealousy, a kind of a coveting of these things. And there is a misbelief that somehow this is supposed to, the miracles we see that Christ performed and then the miracles that the apostles performed, that somehow this is supposed to be normative Christianity. And so there are people who, the best way I can put it is that they want these things to be manifesting in their lives, in their ministries. And they really, 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 really want it badly. But the problem is that they don't carefully understand that the sign gifts that the apostles operated in, those died with the apostles. And that the church has been going on just fine looking at the miracles that were performed in scriptures. In fact, I think about Martin Luther was confronted in his day by the Roman Catholic Church and said, "What miracles do you provide to prove that your interpretation of scripture is correct?" And Luther pointed out, he says, "I point you to the miracles of the Bible, Christ's death and resurrection being the pinnacle one." And so these are the signs that the message that we have is true. We don't need God to keep looking, to keep making them happen. In fact, Jesus himself makes it clear that it's a wicked and adulterous generation that looks for signs. We have the signs of scripture. We have the miracles of the Bible and the pinnacle one of Christ's bodily resurrection from the grave that affirms all of this. And we don't need for there to be ongoing miracles to continue to confirm the gospel. The gospel's been confirmed by the resurrection of Christ. And people have a hard time letting that sink in and believing it. And so they push so hard in their belief that there needs to be ongoing miracles like this today to support the preaching of the gospel, that in their zeal for that, they end up fabricating miracles, or worse, looking to miracles that are not miracles, but actual demonic deceptions, and relying on them. They open themselves up to these types of attacks from the devil.
Finally, we pointed out this at the beginning, that this, some people call it heavenly tourism.
Yeah. Yep.
There were books, The Boy, Heaven is for Real, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. Some of them were even made into films and things like that.
Yeah.
In a fair number of these cases, these, in this case, little children, have grown up to recant their stories. Does that offer any kind of warning to people who will swallow hook, line, and sinker the claims of Kevin Zadi?
You know, it should. Unfortunately, I don't think it does. I think of the kid, Alex Malarkey, the boy who went to heaven. He later recanted, said that my dad made that whole thing up, and they're in a lawsuit. He and his mother are in a lawsuit with the publisher against the father, you know, that he's estranged from. These stories should give us pause, because over and again, people want these stories to be true and that we can somehow get behind the veil. But again, Scripture warns us, do not go beyond what is written. And John writes, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Paul makes it clear that everything we need for godliness and faith are written in the Scriptures. And, you know, we have a hard time saying, okay, the Scriptures are sufficient and we want more. But when we want more, we open ourselves up to the deceptions of the devil to be misled and led astray. And worse, we risk coming under the condemnation here of 2 John that says that everyone who goes on ahead and doesn't abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Everything we need for doctrine and life is found in the Scriptures. It is 100% sufficient, and we dare not go beyond what is written, lest we abandon the faith, and as Scripture says, we don't even have God when we do that.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consefinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and creator and host of the YouTube channel Fighting for the Faith. You'll find a direct link to Fighting for the Faith at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Chris, thank you.
Thank you.
You can meet and hear Chris Rosebro making the case for Scripture alone at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 24th and Saturday, June 25th at Concordia University, Chicago. In addition to Chris, this year's speakers include Dr. Albert Moeller of Southern Baptist Theological Seminary, former U.S. Attorney General Bill Barr, Pastor Brian Wolf Miller, author of Has American Christianity Failed, Dr. Joel Bierman of Concordia Seminary, Pastor Will Wheaton of The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and Finnish lawmaker Dr. Pavi Rasanen. Registration is $150 and includes meals on Friday night and Saturday afternoon and evening. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. The 2022 Making the Case Conference, June 24th and 25th in River Forest, Illinois. Next week on Issues Etc., we'll discuss the liturgy for closing a congregation and the disposition of a church building. Our guest will be Pastor Will Wheaton, and we'll have Pastor Brian Wolf Miller lead us in a teaching on Jesus as Prophet. We'll also continue our series, Responding to Roman Catholic Proof Texts, with Dr. Stephen Parks. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618 844-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Unshaken from Psalm 16:8 is the theme for the 44th academic year at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. We engage young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and encouraging spiritual growth. Please help us provide tuition assistance to more students by making a tax-deductible gift at melhs.org and click on the support page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a 4-bedroom, 3-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.